All right. I'm not sure if everyone received a copy of this or not. And I know last time I got in trouble, but, you know, life is good, and I'm sure it won't be the last time. I recently asked my friend's little girl what she wanted to be when she grew up. She said she wanted to be a president someday. Both of her parents were very liberal Democrats, and they were standing there. So I asked her, if you were president, what's the first thing that you would do? And she replied, I'd give food to the homeless. I'd give food and houses to all the homeless people. Her parents beamed. Wow, that's a worthy goal, I told her. But you don't have to wait until you're president to do that. You can come over to my house, mow the lawn, pull the weeds, sweep my yard, and I'll pay you $50. Then I'll take you over to the grocery store where a homeless guy hangs out, and you can give him the $50 to use for food and a new house. She thought that over for a few seconds, and then she looked at me straight in the eye and asked, why doesn't the homeless guy go over and do the work? You can just pay him the $50. I said, welcome to the Republican Party. Her parents still aren't speaking to me. That was good, Vlad. I think last time I read a couple jokes on why President elect hadn't produced his birth certificate, and I thought some of them were actually kind of funny. And you know what my motto is: if you can't laugh at somebody else, who can you laugh at? But I found out afterwards, I think I only made it through two or three of the funny points, and people were up and left, and they were steaming mad. Some people take politics entirely too seriously. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. No, it's in my Bible somewhere. Mars, tell your husband I said thank you. 1 Peter chapter 3. a couple familiar verses here. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll go down to verse 15. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Just a chapter or two over, look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We're going to read 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And finally, go back to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. And take a look down at, we can just get away with one verse. Take a look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you as a congregation on a Sunday morning. Father, we desire that you would open our hearts, open our minds, and give us something from the Word of God that, Lord, maybe we otherwise would not have gotten this week. I pray that this message here would bless the hearts in each and every individual that's out there. Lord, I especially pray that if there's somebody here this morning who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is, Father, if there's somebody here who is not sure that when they die, they're going to go to heaven, I pray that this morning would be the morning that their eyes would be opened, that their hearts would be tender, and they would realize what a great God we have and what a great price that He paid on Calvary's cross for us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I struggled getting this message together. Just it seemed to be several scattered ideas and just unconnected thoughts that didn't seem to really have any direction. And as I pondered them over, a theme started to emerge, and it kind of tied things together. And this theme had to do with preparation and being caught by surprise. kind of had to do with just preparation and being caught by surprise. You know, there are a lot of things that can take us by surprise in life. You know, husbands, you're sitting at home, all of a sudden one day you get a phone call. And on the other end is kind of a frantic wife. And she's on the phone and she says, honey, I'm sorry, but I just had a little fender bender. Can you come and pick me up? That takes you by surprise. I got one of those calls once, a long time ago, and the fender bender wasn't that bad. It was a little one. Sometimes the car's undrivable, but but ours wasn't. Or you're sitting at home, and some here have more experience with this than others, but you're sitting at home, and your wife comes up to you, gentlemen, and she says, honey, the rabbit died. Or the line turned blue, or whatever the modern version is of finding out that you're pregnant. It kind of takes you by surprise once in a while, right? Now, that hasn't happened in my family, at least not that I know of, so we're okay. But but life is full of surprises. And a lot of times, things aren't always what you expect them to be. College students, teenagers, you get up one morning and you realize it's Thursday. And then you get to thinking about Thursday a little bit more and you realize, oh no, I have a math test today. Surprise. Surprise. I threw that one in there for you, John. but you know, surprises just seem to come our way, and a lot of times one possibility when you're faced with some type of a surprise like that or something that you didn't expect is you're incapable of handling the situation because you didn't prepare properly. That occasionally happens. Sometimes we shouldn't be surprised. But there's a certain twist in the turn of events, and what we expected to happen doesn't really happen the way that we expected and had anticipated, and something from the outside kind of influences what's going on, and we're taken by surprise in that way. I remember, this just happened yesterday. I was doing a rescue diving refresher. Every year we get together with some of the dive masters, and we go down to the pool, and basically what we do is we practice rescuing drowned divers or divers in distress, or that sort of thing, so that we're kind of fresh for the diving season, because part of our job is to keep the other divers safe. So we get out there and we practice this. Well, one of the things you do when you get out there is you have a distressed diver out there, maybe they're lying face down in the water. This is not a good thing to happen, by the way. But they're lying face down in the water. They're not moving. They're not breathing. They're just out. So you go up to them, you flip them over, and now you got to start giving them, resuscitation breaths. You can't do CPR in the water, so all you can do is give them, mouth-to-mouth and get them back to shore as quick as possible. Well, in the process, you start taking off their gear, because it's kind of hard to drag somebody with, 100 pounds of scuba gear strapped to their back. Plus, you've got your scuba gear strapped to your back. So one of the skills that you practice is go out there, you turn the person over, you check to make sure they're breathing, you get them floating, make sure that they're floating okay, because doing it underwater is kind of difficult. So, and then you start giving them mouth to mouth. At the same time, you're taking their gear off. So it's kind of a task loading thing where you're giving a breath and finding a buckle and unclasping it and giving a breath and trying to find out where all the buckles were. Well, one of the things that you normally do when you get together with a buddy for scuba diving is you just kind of look at each other's equipment to see how it's configured. Where are the buckles? Where are the snaps? What am I going to be getting myself into if something like this happens? Well, because we're all diving professionals, and because we've done this so many times before, we didn't do that in the class. So I get out with a guy and turn him over, get him going. His name is Dan, good guy. And I start the process, and we simulate, giving rescue breaths, because obviously he's actually breathing. But then I get to his gear configuration. He's got gear configured totally different than what I expected. Now I'm kind of in a quandary, because I'm having to try to remember to breathe every 5 seconds for this guy, plus get all this gear off, and he's got gear wrapped around his neck and the hose wrapped around, and everything is just a big tangled mess. And you know what? It wasn't what I expected it to be. It just wasn't what I expected it to be. It was a good training experience. It was good learning. But it wasn't what I expected it to be. And you know, life gets that way sometimes. Life gets that way sometimes. So I got to thinking about it, a couple different things, and I just titled this message this morning, a simple question that I'd like to ask you, and that is just simply this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And I have three areas, short message, three simple points. The first thing that I'd like to ask you that question concerning is this. Are you ready for our country to change? Are you ready for our country to change? See, sometimes things don't turn out the way we expect. We've got quite a mess here in this country. And it seems like the government more and more and more is taking control over things. And, you know, they've just recently enacted some laws and the banking industry is in danger and they're going to be taking control over more and more of the banking industry. Obviously, the automobile industry, you know, the energy industry, everything, healthcare, they're trying to get into healthcare. I was just reading an article. Let me see if I can find it here. Obama Democrats eye tactic to shield healthcare plan from GOP opposition. President Obama and his Democratic allies in Congress are poised to trample Republican opposition to his health care bill with a controversial legislative tactic known as reconciliation. The fast-track process would protect Obama's ambitious plan to overhaul the U.S. health care system from a potential GOP filibuster and limit the Republicans' ability to get concessions. It also would give Democrats far more control over the specifics of health care legislation. Are you ready for the changes that we're about to face? There's another thing that he's currently adopted, which I don't understand this. It sounds really good as far as rhetoric, but he's looking to return to what they call a pay-as-you-go rule. And that is this. President Obama is looking to the past to help reduce the growing federal budget deficit threatening the country's future. In his weekly radio and internet address Saturday, Obama called on Congress to pass the pay-as-you-go legislation that would require new federal spending to be offset by budgetary cuts or tax hikes. Things are going to change. Guys, things are going to change. A lot of the ladies went down to a homeschool convention here not too recently. One of the seminars that they had at the homeschool convention was a lawyer. And this lawyer got up and was talking about a couple of different cases that we've seen that have been held recently. And one of them was this. A teenager filed a lawsuit against her parents because her parents were making her go to church three times a week. This teenager took her parents to court. The court got involved in that situation, in that family situation, and the judge determined that three times a week was too much to ask of this poor teenage student and ordered the parents that one service a week was sufficient. See, sometimes things aren't exactly what we expect them to be. They turn out different. Sometimes we get blindsided and changes happen and things happen to us that we're not prepared for. Are you ready to face some of the changes that we're going to look at in this country? Another court case, interestingly enough. Another court case, young lady wanted to go to the prom. Mom and dad obviously knew better. We're not going to let their daughter go to the prom. The daughter decides she wants to take mom and dad to court and sue mom and dad for it. Guess who won? Well, she got to go to the prom, but she didn't win. A judge came down, ordered the parents to let that girl go to the prom. Are you ready for the changes in our country? See, here we are, we're Christians, we're Bible-believing Christians, and I'm just asking you, are you prepared, are you ready for some of the changes that we're going to face? Turn, if you will, back to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And we're in the book of Judges back in our teen Sunday school class back there. But Judges chapter 6, look at verse 11 through 13. Again, familiar event. But in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is in Orpah, that pertained to Joash the Abizurite and his son Gideon. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, 'The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and hath delivered us into the hands of the Midians. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Are you ready for what's going to happen to our country? You know, in this point in time, Israel was under the hand of the Midianites, and it was so bad that he had to hide back behind the rock so that he could grow some food. And the Lord comes up to him and taps him on the shoulder and says, by the way, you've been chosen to stand up and be a leader among your people. That was a surprise to Gideon. I don't think Gideon had foreseen those events happening at all, but you know what? Are you ready for those type of events to happen? Are you ready for the Lord to step up and tap you on the shoulder? Take a look at chapter 10, Judges chapter 10, verse 9. Judges chapter 10, verse 9. There we go. That looks more familiar. Starting in verse 9. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon? And from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Manoites, and which did oppress you, and ye cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen, let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Are you ready for what's going to happen to our country? I don't know what's going to happen. I have no clue. I have no clue. But I know this. I know that here the nation of Israel faced some pretty rough times, and the Lord handled it a couple of different ways. In one instance, the Lord looked out and saw a leader and raised up a leader who led the children of Israel to victory. In another case, the Lord looked back at them and said, by the way, you've just been chasing other gods and doing other things, and I don't know that I have time for you right now. Why don't you go talk to the other guys you've been talking to? Scary thought. Then there's, of course, Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells the children of Israel when Nebuchadnezzar comes in. We've been doing that on Wednesday night Bible study with Brother Stevens. Jeremiah tells the children of Israel, go to Babylon. Just give up. Go to Babylon. And then you got Gideon that fights. I don't know the answer, guys. But I'm just asking you this. Are you ready for the change? Are you ready? Are you ready for what can happen? You say, which one of those should be my examples? Which one should be my example? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this. I know a lot of times you get involved in the middle of things and they're not exactly what you thought they were going to be. And brethren, you know, we as a congregation, we as a church, we got to be on the right page, in the book, following the right God, doing the right thing, and we need to keep ourselves right with the Lord. Amen? Amen. First question I had for you this morning is just simply, are you ready for the changes that are happening in our country? Something to think about. Something to think about. But as important, I tell you what, as important as that question is, there are two other questions I'd like to ask this morning. And the first question is simply this. Are you ready to meet your enemy? Are you ready to meet your enemy? Turn to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. You know, we do have an enemy in the devil. Quite the adversary. 1 Peter 5:8. We read this earlier. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I would just ask you a simple question. The devil is your enemy. Are you ready to meet him? You know, back in 1941, the Japanese were getting ready to bomb Pearl Harbor. And at the time, they had assembled about 500 fighters and bombers at an air base in Formosa, which is Taiwan. And they were going to assault the Philippine Islands as well. So here we have the whole scenario that's set up, and there's a time difference. There's a timeline between Pearl Harbor and the Philippines. It's in between. So what's December 7th on Hawaii, or at Pearl Harbor, is December 8th in the Philippines. So the dates sound a little bit different. But the Japanese were not expecting at all to employ the tactic of a swift surprise attack on the Philippines. I mean, they planned the attack on Pearl Harbor. That was going to be a surprise. They were hoping to catch us, you know, unprepared, which they did. But they were not expecting to have that happen to the Philippines. Because the attack on the Philippines was going to happen, like supposed to happen, between 7 and 9 hours later. So their rationale was that, okay, we're going to attack Pearl Harbor, and word is going to obviously get back to the States, which is going to relay word to the Philippines. The Philippines army is going to be on alert, and we're going to meet some stiff resistance going into the Philippine Islands. So they expected the Philippines and General MacArthur there to have his forces on full alert. But you know what? Sometimes we're not ready to meet the enemy. Now, in all fairness, there were some things going on that MacArthur had to deal with. He had to deal with the president of the Philippines, and the president of the Philippines wanted to keep the Philippines neutral. He really didn't want the war coming into his country. So I'm sure MacArthur had a lot of political, you know, ties that he had to worry about and everything like that. But suffice it to say that before the Japanese could take off from Formosa at 2:30 a.m. on the December 8th, which again is right after Pearl Harbor, a thick fog began to develop over the air bases. So the Japanese wanted to launch their attack. Fog comes in. They can't take off. Hours pass with no sign that the fog was going to lift. A senior Japanese commander and their staff, they became concerned that the Americans might strike first. And they had all their aircraft fully fueled and armed, sitting on the runways ready to take off. And they finally had to take a risk and say, you know what, let's just get our aircraft up there. Meanwhile, back in the Philippines. Now, guys, we know what happened to Pearl Harbor. Japanese were planning on coming into the Philippines. Their attack was delayed by a couple of hours. They already knew they weren't going to surprise the Philippines because Pearl Harbor was going to happen first. Now their attack was delayed even further because of weather. In other words, Lord gave MacArthur and everybody else an extra couple hours to prepare for this attack. within minutes after the attack on Pearl Harbor, news was received in the Philippine Islands of what had happened. Within minutes, they knew. Brigadier General Leonard Jarro, chief of the Army's Warplane Division, He telephoned MacArthur from Washington to confirm that Pearl Harbor had been attacked by the Japanese, and he told MacArthur that he wouldn't be surprised if you get attacked there in the near future. History records the Japanese launched the devastating attacks about 12:20 p.m. on December 8, 1941. So now MacArthur's been warned. He's had 7 to 9 hours advanced notice. And for some unknown reason, guys, MacArthur never got his army and his planes ready for the attack. That's the way sometimes we are with the devil. We know it's coming. We know the devil's out to get us. We know that the devil's real. We know the threat is real. We know it's inevitable. We know it's going to happen sooner or later. But we just never take the time to get prepared. One of MacArthur's generals came up to him and said, "General, I need to get my planes up in the air." And for whatever reason, MacArthur told him no. Repeatedly. This general finally takes the initiative, loads and fuels his planes, and sends them up to start circling the Philippines in preparation for an attack. Problem. All his planes start running out of fuel. They've been up there so long. Indecision. MacArthur had been ordered to launch an attack on Japan so that this wouldn't happen. But he didn't do it. No one can figure out why. It didn't make any sense. Christians get caught in that crossfire quite often. You know, teens, you grow up, you go to college. John, you ever experience anything in college that you didn't quite expect? Pressures out there you didn't quite expect, didn't quite prepare for, things just didn't work out the way that you intended them. You know, if you're young, a teenager getting ready to go off to college, be careful. Be careful. I mean, there's things that you expect and you know to stay away from, but you know what? Even in the face of threats that we're aware of, a lot of times we don't prepare the way we should. We had to take one of my karate students and take him back to, he's going to the U of M, and we had to take him back to his house after a karate tournament last weekend, or a karate clinic. So we were driving him back down there, and I don't get down there very often. I can't remember the last time was that I was even downtown, much less by the U. And we're driving down the street, and it's wow. And this is midnight. We didn't get home till like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, everybody should be home in bed asleep. You know. But we're driving down there, and we notice something that took place, and there's a cab parked on the side of the road. And then we see the back door of the cab open up, at which point a college student sticks his head out the back door and starts puking all over the street. It was a good... That definitely doesn't need to be an example. But it was a good lesson. Hey, kids, don't do that. See what happens. But you know what? Sometimes we take off and we think we're going to face the enemy. And we know we're going to face the enemy. We know the enemy's there, but we are unprepared. And so MacArthur's general has got the planes flying up through the air, flying around to kind of protect the Philippine Islands, and they start running out of fuel. He's got to bring them all back down. He's got them on the ground, and now he has to refuel them all. So here they sit on the runway, armed, and now fueled, and guess what hits? The Japanese attack finally gets there. Needless to say, MacArthur did not win that battle. He winds up leaving, you know, scurrying out of the Philippine Islands. Next thing you know, you got the Bataan Death March. Bad scenario. Christians, when we're not prepared to face our enemy, when we're not ready to face our enemy, I tell you what, a lot of people suffer the consequences. Are you ready for the changes in the country? If we're not prepared, a lot of things can happen. Second question is this: are you ready to face your enemy? Are you ready to face your enemy? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never been born again. You don't know if you're going to go to heaven or hell. Maybe you don't care. All I can say is this: the devil is your enemy. And he's every bit as real as those Japanese fighters were that flew over Pearl Harbor and the Philippines. And what your parents and what people that care about you and what we're trying to do here in the church is we're trying to give you a warning of the enemy that you're about to face. And if you're sitting here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're like General MacArthur. You're sitting there, and for whatever reason, maybe you don't even know, you can't make a decision to trust Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. The attack is coming. And it may be delayed for a while. It may be a little later than what you expect. But the attack is coming. And I tell you what, the consequences are your eternal soul. In Luke Luke 16, you don't have to turn there, very familiar passages of Scripture. We read a story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man fared sumptuously every day, and he had everything that he wanted, and life was good, and he enjoyed everything. And he did not expect to have to face the enemy as soon as he had to face him. And he was unprepared. And the Bible says that rich man died and went to hell. And being in torments, he lifted up his eyes and seeth Abraham afar off and said, Abraham, Father Abraham, dip the tip of your finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you're sitting here this morning and you're lost, you know that's your end for being unprepared? You know that's your end? I mean, it's bad enough for a Christian to get caught off guard with the devil and stumble and fall and have to go back and repent and change some things in your life and get yourself straightened out with God and realize I've been on the wrong track and I need to get my life in order. It's bad enough for a Christian, okay? But if you're lost, when the devil attacks, the consequences are astronomical. That rich man today, to this day, some 2,000 plus years later, is still burning in hell. Still burning in hell. 2,000 years. I've burned myself before. Not very bad, but I don't like it. Can you imagine 2,000 years? 2,000 years. Why? Because he wasn't ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet your enemy? I've told you this before, but it just sticks in my mind. I had a fortune cookie once that I actually folded up and stuck in my wallet because I thought it was kind of cute. But it said, it's very true, unfortunately. It says, the problem with resisting temptation is we fear it may never come our way again. For a fortune cookie, I thought that was pretty insightful. Is that what's keeping you from being prepared to face your enemy? Finally, one other question. Are you prepared for the changes our country are going to go through? Are you really? I don't know what they're going to be. Neither do you. But we need to prepare. Second question is, are you prepared to face your enemy? Christian, as a saved person walking down, are you prepared not to let the devil blindside you and cause you to stumble and fall in your Christian walk? Are you doing what you can to prepare against the inevitable attack? If you're lost, hey, listen, the only preparation you can possibly make is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need to prepare for the enemy. Nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. At least your soul will be saved. You may still stumble like the rest of us, but at least your soul will be saved. And the third question, pretty obvious, is this. Are you ready to meet your God? Are you ready to meet God? Take and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 14 very, very quickly. Romans chapter 14. I know I've got Romans in my Bible somewhere. There it is. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, start in verse 10. The Bible says, but why... 14:10. Am I right? Yeah. Wow. Notes. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Are you ready to meet God? You're saved. Are you ready to meet God? You know, I think about the judgment seat of Christ every once in a while, and I wonder what it's going to be like if I'm going to be ready. And inevitably, folks, we're always underprepared. We're always underprepared. I told you we were doing a little rescue diving practice yesterday, right? So another thing that we practice in the rescue diving is now we've had the unconscious victim on the surface. Well, now we have a panicked victim on the surface that we have to rescue. So the panic victim is, you know, splashing around, and panic victim, very dangerous. unconscious, relatively simple, a little more problematic as far as their health, but a panic victim is very dangerous. Now what we normally do with a panic victim, and a lifeguard will do this, or a rescue diver, is you'll get out there, they'll be splashing around and screaming and yelling, and they will try to grab you and crawl on top of you. Right? So what we normally do is just stay out of reach so they can't reach us, and just wait. You say, that sounds cruel. It is. What we're letting them do is actually get too tired to fight. They're still breathing. The heart's still going. Everything's okay. They're just terrified. And they're not thinking rationally. So rather than me jump in there and, you know, have them climbing all over the top of me, which I've experienced, we just sit back and wait until they get too tired to fight, and then we go in and, you know, perform our rescue. Well, this is practice. And I'm not going to sit there and wait for a half an hour while the practice victim gets tired. So you go through the motions, and you know what? You're not expecting things to happen. And to make matters worse, this wasn't Dan. Dan's a pretty good-sized guy. He's taller than me. And this was, I don't know if you know Dave and his wife. They're a couple other dive masters there. But anyway, this was his wife, Audrey. So she got to be the victim. She's getting ready to test for her instructor, so I think they thought she'd be a good victim. So I'm first up. I go out, and I do the standard, okay, calm down, inflate your BC, and give her the instructions. And she's still kind of flailing around. And, you know, I'm thinking, this is practice. No big deal. And so if they don't calm down, then you don't want to approach them from face on. So basically, you just drop underwater because that's the last place they want to go. You go underwater, come up behind them, grab them, turn them around, grab a hold of them, tow them back. Piece of cake, right? So I drop down, I go underwater, and I see fins kicking. And okay, so I grab the fins, spin her around to where I'm now behind her. So I'm going to come up, grab her tank, and go to the surface. Only in the process, she keeps fighting, and I just start to come up, and she turns around on me. This is practice. All of a sudden, she starts grabbing and fighting and clawing and scratching. She grabs my mask, rips my mask off. She grabs my regulator hose, starts to jerk it out of my mouth. My first response was to tighten her chin down on the mouthpiece so that she can't rip it out. At the same time, I'm looking down going, where's my spare, and just in case I need it. I'm thinking, this is practice. This is practice. She's trying to kill me. She's a girl. She's trying to kill me. This is sometimes we're not ready. Even when we know what's coming, we're not ready. So she's got my mask ripped off of me. She's got the hose holding onto it, trying to jerk it out of my mouth. And she's fighting me back and forth. And I realize, listen, I can't, normally if something like that happens, you just back away from her and let her continue to fight until she gets tired. But now she's got a hold of me. I can't back away. So, you know, instinct kind of kicks in. I'm going, oh no, this is for real now, guys. This is for real now. So now I have to approach this as a real situation. This is not play practice anymore. So now I become very forceful. I grab her. I turn her around forcefully. I reach up and I do the whole lifeguard routine and pull her safety. Everything works out fine. And I was talking to her afterwards and I was going, man, that's pretty good. I wasn't prepared. Even though I knew what was going to happen, I knew the drill, I knew how to do all the techniques, I wasn't prepared to face it at that level. And Christian, that's how the devil gets us. That's how the devil gets us. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I bet there's going to be some scratching and fighting, and the Lord's going to rip my mask off and pull the regulator out of my mouth. I'm sure he is. I know I won't be fighting back at that one. But, Christian, sometimes we're not ready for what's really going to happen. So I got her back, you know, everything worked out, and I was telling everybody else, I said, yeah, this, you know, I said, instinct kind of kicked in. I said, my mask was ripped off, and she had my regulator, and so I chomped down on the mouthpiece so that she wouldn't rip it out of my mouth, because I like to breathe underwater. Just one of those things. I'm just kind of funny that way. But So, you know, checking for my spare regulator, because I was sure she was going to rip it right out of my mouth. And I managed to avoid that. But I imagine when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, Christian, we're not really going to be ready for how it goes. Not really. Not really. Finally, if you're lost here this morning, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Now, theologically, you won't be at that judgment seat of Christ. There's actually a different judgment that you'll be at unless you get saved. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we'll go down to verse 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Flip back a few pages to the book of Jude, right before Revelation. The book of Jude. And you go through, but we get down, verse 7 is actually what I'm after, and I'll jump down there for just for time's sake. Verse 7, even to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And as Josh taught us this morning, that there is an example. You know why it's not an ensample? Because on Sodom and Gomorrah, it rained fire for a little while, and then eventually the fire went out. You go over to where Sodom and Gomorrah was today, and there's not fire and brimstone raining from heaven right now. It went out. But look at the end of verse 7. If you're lost here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, look at the end of verse 7. They're set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire. Sodom and Gomorrah was an example for us. We learned something. Not copied exactly, because this fire is eternal. This fire is eternal. You are going to meet your God. Are you ready? Christian, are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Lost person. You're lost here this morning. Are you ready? That fire is eternal. And just like General MacArthur knew the Japanese were coming in, had been warned they had already attacked Pearl Harbor, attack on the Philippines was imminent. It was inevitable. For whatever reason, nobody knows to this day why, he didn't prepare his force. Maybe it was politics. Maybe it had to do with the president of the Philippines. Maybe there's a thousand other things. Maybe he was just caught up in the details. But he had, like, I think between 7 and 9 hours, guys, to get himself ready. And he failed to do so. And if you're lost here this morning and you think this is all a joke, you think the devil is a joke, and you say, yeah, I'm ready to face the devil, my enemy, you're sadly mistaken. And even if you think you can take on the devil, remember, you got to meet God after that. And I guarantee you this. Now the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You got a chance. But when you meet God, there is no chance. You'll do it his way. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, eternal fire is the only outcome. See, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know this. I know that there are a lot of things in life that creep up on us that for whatever reason we're unprepared for. Sometimes it's our own fault, our lack of preparation, our bad habits, our sin. Sometimes it blindsides us and it was something that we could not have foreseen, and it's just something that we have to deal with. But in either case, we're unprepared. And those situations turn out a lot worse than what you expect. So if you're here this morning, are you prepared for what's going to happen to our country? Are you prepared to meet your enemy, the devil? And finally, as you sit here this morning, right now, this instant, are you prepared to meet your God? If you're not, when we have our hymn of invitation, I'd ask you to come forward to the altar, get things right with the Lord. If you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're not sure how, if you want to get saved so that you don't have to face eternal fire, listen, come down here. Just look up at me. Let me know. I'll get one of the ladies or one of the men to go with you and take you to the side, open up the Bible, and show you for sure how that you can have your sins taken care of, how you can get forgiveness so that you don't have to face that eternal fire. One simple question, are you ready? For whatever it is, are you ready? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, do thank you for being our God. You've given us a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ that came down to this earth, that hung on a cross, that paid the price for our sins. Lord, that made it possible for us to have eternal life and be with you forever. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks who've never taken advantage of that. They're unprepared to meet their Maker. And so, Father, if there's anybody like that here this morning, I pray that you'd give them the courage and the desire to come down and trust Jesus Christ. Lord, it'd be the greatest decision they've ever made in their lives. And Lord, for a Christian, we're just always faced with battles, and so often we're unprepared. Help us to be prepared. Father, we need to fight day in, day out. If we fought last year, Lord, we need to fight more this year. If we fought 10 years ago, we should be fighting 100 times more now. And sometimes we don't. So I pray that you'd put a burden on our hearts, Father, to resist the devil, to try to make preparation to meet our God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a hymnal and turn to number 204. We'll stand, number 204. Number 204. If you need to, won't you please come down? As soon as the music starts, don't be bashful. Make your way down to the altar. Number 204. Thank you. give these folks a minute to finish up. How about you? Anybody here need to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Don't go home without doing that. We serve a great God. He paid a great price. Don't let that price be wasted. On the third verse. Folks, you can be dismissed. Service is regular time, 6 o'clock this evening. See you then.